get your Bibles. Let's go. We're going to look again. I want to begin with Psalms 34, Psalms 34. We're going to begin there. We're going to read several other scriptures, but it's sort of been where we've based all of this out of, and so that's where I want to pick up today and read it again for the sake of all of you. And if I don't get my glasses, well, I won't be able to see a thing. This is what happens when you get old. So no laughter over here, young guys. Look at what the Word of God says. And I really believe today, I was almost switched it last night, and then I kept on going because I really believe that it's a word for now. In fact, I know for sure that it is, and so that's why I wanted to stick with it, that it's really a thus says the Lord word for right now, for your life, for where we are. And so grab a hold of it and get a hold of what the Lord says. Psalms 34, just the first three verses. I want to read this to you. And it begins in Psalms 34, verse 1. It says, I will bless the Lord sometimes. That's right. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Would you do me a favor? That first verse, I will bless the Lord at all times. If you're sitting near someone or behind someone, or if you don't even know their name, just call out a name and look over at them or elbow them or hit them in the face, whatever it takes, right? And call out their name. Say somebody's name. If you're not near anybody, I don't care, but call out somebody's name, right? And just say, Diana. You all don't listen. I said, call out the name of someone sitting next to you. Say their name. Now you're catching on. See, you're slow learners, but you get it, right? Say it again. You will bless the Lord at all times. Praise will always be in your mouth. Now, I want you to do it one more time, but how many of you know what it's like to talk with attitude? Come on, don't pretend you don't have an attitude. Some of you have one. Come on. All right, so I want you to say it with attitude this time. Say their name with an attitude, just as if you're about ready to yell at them. Say their name. Diana, you will bless the Lord at all times. Praise will continually be in your mouth. What you just did was prophesy over them and decreed that praise will be a part of who they are. It's important and it's powerful, meaning that instead of you allowing your circumstances to dictate you and your attitude, you're going to choose, and what you're doing is telling them they're going to dictate those circumstances to bow and come in alignment with the Word of God and your praise. That's why that's so important. So whatever you just prophesied, you might have to remind them later when they get mad at you or coppitude. You just remember, hey, don't you remember I said you will bless the Lord? Now bless the Lord. Stop yelling at me. Hallelujah. You will bless the Lord. Are you still with me? All right. So we've been dealing with this little mini series really on praise. And I found it's important because you and I's ability to praise God. And a lot of times I spend a good bit of time in services preaching to your situations and life problems and all of those things and dealing with the issues of life. And I think that that's important. But if we never get a hold of what it is that is a part of our life, not just what we just did in church, singing songs, that's important. And any church that doesn't put an emphasis on praise and worship is a church where there's nothing happening. This is the truth. Wherever there, when you and I don't create an opportunity for his presence, then he cannot manifest. So you won't see healing. You won't see lives change. You won't see anything extraordinary like that. Those are the same churches that say Acts isn't for today. Hello. That's the truth. I know it got quiet, but we have to create an atmosphere for his presence. We've covered that over the last few weeks. That it is in his, he inhabits the praises of his people. So where there is no praise, he can't inhabit. The reason it was important for me to start you out there by you telling your neighbor, you will bless the Lord at all times, is so that God, that his presence has a place to inhabit. How many of you know that sometimes in our home, they're not real inhabitable for the presence of God? Hallelujah. Sometimes our cars, our vehicles, isn't a place where he can abide, right? Because of what's going on in the car, right? And so what we've just done by us decreeing and declaring, because the Bible says, decree a thing and it shall be established. Meaning when you just decreed, you will bless the Lord at all times, it means you're declaring over them that they're going to be able to see life differently. They're not going to be consumed by life and what's going wrong and what they're not agreeing with and all of the problems of this life. I refuse to lose my peace whether I agree or disagree with Washington. I refuse to lose my peace based on what the news tells me. And anybody who's losing their peace, then you need this word. I'm not going to lose sleep over it. I'm not going to fret over it because it is not that's not where my hope is found in anyway. Hello, somebody. Because I will bless the Lord at all times. My praise is going to dictate the outcome. My attitude, the position I choose to take. And so when I have an attitude of praise, God will show me the end from the beginning. Meaning he'll show me how it's going to end, even though it looks like chaos right now. Thank you, Lord. If I'm not careful, I'll go somewhere else. Good Lord. It's our praise that he can inhabit. That's why we put an emphasis on it. That's why we encourage you to even put a shout. You may not like it. You may not, you know, but you'll go to you've been to a rock concert or you'll go see your favorite celebrity and you'll scream like a little girl, but yet you can't do that in the house of God. I have a problem with that, right? We have to be able to get excited and realize the only thing, the only one, the only hope that we have of change coming in our life comes through him. Him and him alone. We can't do it on our own. We didn't get where we are just on our own and our own efforts. Thank God for the grace of God that enables us to be where we are. And he's a God of grace and forgiveness and mercy and all of those things. So therefore, I can give him praise. I can celebrate him. Hallelujah. So we looked back, and I said that years ago I preached a message, and I wanted to incorporate just this part of a series I did years ago on praise because I thought it fit in really good. And so years ago, I gave you the scripture in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 1, that talked about the sons of Judah. And without re-preaching everything and where we were, the sons of Judah means praise. And the Bible says that the sons of Judah were, the Bible names them in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 1, the sons of Judah were Perez, Hezron, Carmi, Hur, Shobal. Now, that may not mean much to most of us when we read it, and that's the reason we've been taking time, and I wanted to include this in this series that we've been doing on praise to help you to understand what it will do for you. When we were just singing, it wasn't to make the preacher sweat or to even hype you up or to give you an opportunity to clap your hands. It does something in the spirit realm that will help you and unlock things in your life. And so over the last 2 weeks, we've already covered Perez, which means breakthrough. In other words, your praise will produce breakthrough. Thank you, Lord. Whenever we are in need of some kind of a breakthrough and you're willing to give God praise and not fret over the problem, God will release a breakthrough for you. Then last week, we dealt with Perez already. Then we dealt with Hezron. Last week, that was weapons. Remember, I said that God will go before you and he'll fight on your behalf when you and I praise him. Hallelujah. Which brings us to today. The third one that is really important is Carmi. What an odd name, Carmi. The name Carmi and what it really means, I'll break it down for you and then we're going to preach. Is that all right? Carmi, which means a garden or a vineyard. Vines for the production of wine or oil, the place of producing the anointing. Carmi means to produce oil for the production of oil, right? In other words, your praise, we've learned, produces breakthrough, it produces weapons, and then it releases the anointing. Now, some people in church, whether you've been in church all your life or you're new to church, doesn't really matter. We've probably heard the term anointing, but you wouldn't believe how many people don't understand what the anointing is and what it even does. And that's what today is all about. I'm not going to teach on the process of crushing to get the oil that we've done, and I've preached it, and a lot of people have done that. I want you to understand what the anointing will do for you. And the anointing of God, when it is released over your life or in this place or today, what we're believing God for, what it will accomplish for you. Because so many times we are in the church and we hear a good word of God, and yet we're not understanding that it is the anointing, the Bible says, that destroys the yoke. And I want you to be able to see and have an understanding today by the time we leave, that you can understand that God, in this time together today, has destroyed yokes on your life. Yokes, things that are controlling you, things that have had a grip on you. How many of you know what it is to live life and yet you've experienced some kind of breakthrough, but I've been in life enough that I know what it is to take a few steps forward, but even more steps backwards. Right? Some people may have even said that to you. You know, I don't know what's wrong with you. You take three steps forward and two steps back. And some of us are guilty of doing that. And yet some of us have just said, God, why doesn't my life look like that? God, why don't I have those results in this life? And yet what the purpose of today is to help you to understand that He is a God of right now and what He is attempting to accomplish right now in your life. And if you can get a hold of what I'm about to share with you in its fullness, I believe that you will see total breakthrough. The Bible says that it is the anointing that destroys the yoke. The anointing. It says in Isaiah chapter 10. I was going to take time to read it, but I can't. Good Lord. Isaiah 10, if you're a note taker or you want to read it later, check out Isaiah chapter 10, verse 24 through 27. But I'll just read verse 27 for the sake of time, all right? And it says, "It shall come to pass in that day that his burden will be taken away from your shoulder, his yoke from your neck, and the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing." Because of the anointing. Now, notice the Bible says a lot of Christians quote that the anointing will break the yoke. No. We get it wrong. The Bible says the anointing destroys the yoke. Because anything broken can be fixed if you're good. Come on, how many have broke something and tried to hide that you broke it and got the super glue out? Come on. A thousand times. Yeah, see, I knew this guy was like that. That's what happened to my car. Right? Things will break, and we'll do whatever we can to try to fix it, but it's never quite right. But it can look from a distance. It can look okay until you get up close. And so the reason I don't like when people misquote the word and say the anointing breaks the yoke is because anything broken can be repaired. It's basically saying whatever God did, Satan can put it back. And I don't know about you, but I like to believe, and from the Word of God, I believe that the God I serve is a God that when He does something, He does a completed, finished work. I don't want to believe that when someone gets saved from their past and is a new believer in Christ, I don't want to believe that He only a little bit saved them. And so when people make that mistake of saying the anointing breaks the yoke, it's as if saying it could be easily undone. And I serve a God that He, when He does things, He can seal the deal. He'll change us forevermore, meaning that if you and I can get a hold of this, your worries and fears of ever going back to who you used to be are over. You won't have to live in fear and wonder and worry because you will understand who you are today, but more importantly, who He is and that what He has done in your life already and what He will do in your life right now, it's over. So the next time the enemy or someone from your past tries to whisper in your ear and tell you, hey, you wanna? Oh, you don't even have to worry. It ain't even gonna tempt you. Come on, somebody. Because you understand that the anointing has destroyed the yoke, that it no longer has control of you. So what is a yoke? I guess I should explain that for those of us that don't maybe know. A yoke is the device, and Lois isn't here, but when, you know, she was growing up, before they had the car and the telephone and all of those things, right? The yoke was the thing that they would put on the oxen or the horses and all of that to control them, right? To restrain them and control the direction and where they would go. And what's interesting about a yoke, they would use that long piece of wood, stick their neck through it, bolt it together, and they could not get out of the yoke. That yoke went around the neck. And if you remember last week, I sort of gave a little introduction to, isn't it interesting that the yoke goes around the neck to where it affects, even if the head wants to go somewhere, the rest of the body can't go that way. The same way in which the enemy will work in your life, where the mind goes, the man goes. The minute you get a thought in your head, it's over so many times. And so the enemy often attacks you and I and tries to put a yoke on us to such a degree that even though you think you're free, you're not really free. Because you're still in the same mode of where you used to be. Some things have changed, but not everything has changed, right? And so that a yoke is a device they put around the neck of the oxen, and it brings control. Even though they have the ability to walk, they can only walk and go in the direction that they're being instructed to go, where the yoke will allow them to go. Hallelujah. In other words, there are yokes oftentimes in our lives that we go about doing our thing, but we're not totally free. Sometimes we're serving God, we'll come to church, we'll even shout and dance in the house of God, but we're not totally free. But the Bible says, look what it said there in verse 27 that I read you, it shall come to pass in that day that his burden will be taken away from your shoulder, his yoke from your neck, and the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing oil. Destroyed, not broken. Destroyed, not broken. Now, what I don't want you to miss about this text, I didn't read the part, but this particular text in Isaiah 10, God is speaking to them about an enemy that he allowed to come against them. How many know that not everything is God sent, but everything is God used? In this case, it wasn't that God sent the enemy in to get him. It's just God allowed the enemy to do a little something, something. Because God will often use trouble and conflict and the things in your life that is not easy to get you right where you need to be. Hallelujah. Some of us are only where we are right now in life because we got ourselves in some trouble. Yeah, I know all about that. And so some of us, we've only come as far as we have because we've gotten in enough trouble that it made me hit my knees. It made me cry out to God. It made me search and find another way in life and figure, God, I need a way out of this one. And so that's what was happening in the text. God allowed some trouble. He allowed some turmoil to show up in some people's lives. And when they got to the point that they were then ready and willing to call out to God, then God releases the word that I'll remove the burden from your shoulder and I'll destroy the yoke from around your neck. But it was only after they turned to God that he said in the word that now I will destroy the yoke. And now I will remove the burden from you. I don't know about you, but there have been times in my walk with God, Amy, where I have said, God, when is something going to stop? When is there going to be breakthrough? God, when is all this mess going to get over with? And often God will answer with a word like this, when you turn to me completely. Or maybe he'll say, or not until you repent. Because sometimes we'll try to serve God, worship God, come to church, praise God, and not really turn away from who we used to be. And in the text, in Isaiah 10, it wasn't until they turned and they recognized their need for him that he said, I will move the burden from around your neck and I will destroy the yoke that's been strangulating you. That's what a yoke does. It strangulates and suffocates you and I. I don't know about you, but in life, have you ever felt like something was suffocating you? Or like there was just something wrong, you couldn't identify it, but you just felt a heaviness about you, right? There was something on your chest in your life coming against you in this life. You couldn't even identify it. Sometimes it'll last for days or weeks or months or even years. And we'll keep serving God because we're a faithful people. But there's a lot of people that we keep coming to church, but yet we're coming to church with yokes on. You haven't recognized it. You just thought, oh, it's just a part of who you are. Haven't you noticed that if you accept something to be a part of your life, you'll just learn to accommodate it in your life? I've learned this even about people that don't belong in my life. If you tolerate them long enough and their nonsense and their mess and their drama and all of that, your life, you will begin to accommodate, make accommodations in your life and your circle for their nonsense. So their dramatic behavior, their complaining, whatever it might be, drama queens, right? He understands. We've been picking each other all week. Hallelujah. I won't tell him your new nickname. It'll be all right. If you, forgive me. If you make a comment, if you make accommodations for those toxic people, somebody hear me, it will change who you are. It will change who you are. Why? Because their toxicity becomes a yoke around you. Haven't you ever noticed there are people, when you get around them, it's just like, ugh. And when you leave, it's like you're like a snake. You just shed that skin. You're like, oh, I feel like I need to go home and take a shower. Because of the atmosphere they create. You know what was happening to you is you walked into a situation and they put a yoke on you. They change who you are. I noticed that about me. My attitude can change. How nice I am can change. All of those things. Because if I'm not careful, I will allow people and their behavior and who they are and the spirit behind them that is not of God put a yoke around us, quiet us, keep us from being who we are. Don't you ever let anybody change who you are. Don't you let anyone ever silence you and think you need to be quiet and not call out what's wrong and what needs to be right. You know, you understanding what I'm saying? Don't ever allow yourself to be changed based on who God has created you to be by nobody. That is a yoke that they're trying to put on you to control the spirit and the move of God in your life from bringing any change. And the devil is a liar. Oh, hallelujah. It's a yoke. And you and I have to stop being a people that we're going to settle, stop settling for yokes. And you might say, well, there are some yokes I've learned that some of us are just living with them. And you're like the oxen, and everywhere you go, you're carrying the yoke. And I'll give you some thoughts of what those might be. But then there's others of us that we have yokes that when we go places, we'll put a yoke on before we go in. And then when we leave, we'll take it off. And when we go back, we'll put it back on because we have to become a different person to be associated with them. And we're desperate to be liked and accepted by them. I don't know about anybody else. Has anyone else ever been rejected or feeling like you don't fit in or feeling like they don't really want you or that you're loved less than the next person? Come on, somebody. And so what that does, and if you let the enemy play with your mind, all he's doing to you is putting a yoke on you. And so you're desperately trying to be and act a certain way and do things in your life to be accepted by people who never will the same way that God will. And so we allow ourselves to have yokes put on us all the time, every time, on and off they go, and it's changed who you are. I was going to grab my yoke out of the upstairs storage because I had one, and the problem was I couldn't get to it because there's so much stuff up there. And then when the basement flooded downstairs and I thought about it again, I thought, oh, nope, never mind. We had to start sucking water, so... But if I would have brought the yoke down and put it on you, and I would have taken the reins, I have total control. You can move your feet. You can smile. You can still flirt. You can clench your teeth. You can growl at me. You can make funny faces, but I'm still in control. You can kick, right? Just like a oxen would or a donkey or whatever. You can do all those things. You can throw the tantrum that you want. And I know none of y'all ever throw a tantrum. I was complaining to God one day, or what I call praying, because sometimes in the midst of my prayer, I'll complain. I'll say, God, what in the world's wrong with so-and-so? Now, I know that you created them and it is your breath in them, but God, something is not right. And they're driving me nuts. Now y'all know who I'm talking about, Lois, yeah. And so I'll say things like that, and once in a while I'll hear the Lord answer back, and he'll say, are you done? Are you done? Some of us, as parents, we know what it is that when your kid's throwing a tantrum and banging their head on the floor or whatever, you just let them go. Maybe your first kid, you didn't do that, but by the second or third, you're just like, whatever. My first kid, she never cried, right? We'd always swooped her up. Second one, we'd have to cry a little bit more. By the time Mackenzie got, we just walked away, go in the other room, shut the door, turn up the radio, let that child cry. Right. Bang her head on the floor. And then we'd say, are you done? And that's exactly what God will say to me sometimes too when I'm complaining. Are you done? Because oftentimes we don't recognize it. But it's in those moments we have this idea in life from little up that throwing a tantrum will get us the attention we want. Right. If I make enough noise, if I blow up enough, I'll get your attention. Right? As a kid, if I bang my head hard enough, mom will come. I may have a big bruise when it's over with, but she'll come. And so we create this idea in our life that if we continue to do that as an adult in our relationships with whatever it is on the workplace, that we'll get the attention that we need. It becomes a yoke. Because I'm constantly searching for somebody to hear me, somebody to see me. Remember back 2 weeks ago when I taught you about Leah and her and her situation, and I said she had all of her four kids and the first one she named, right, Reuben, Simeon, and she named them in a manner. She said, I need my husband to hear me, I need him to see me. And then the third child, she need him to be joined with her, but her husband kept ignoring her and got even another woman that he preferred over his own wife. Finally, the woman, right, the Bible said that she smartened up and she said, I'm done with this. She had a fourth child and she named him Judah, which means praise. In other words, she said, I'm done trying to get my needs met by a man that doesn't have the ability to meet them. I will bless the Lord at all times. Praise will be always be in my mouth. In other words, you and I allow yokes to be put on our life when we try to search out and get our needs and expectations met by people who don't have the ability to do it. It becomes a yoke on you, and you keep searching and searching and searching for those kinds of things and those kinds of manifestations and them to stroke our ego and to say the right thing and to do the right thing in our life. And God doesn't want that for you and I. He wants you and I to have freedom. He wants you and I to have liberty in our life and not to be controlled by a yoke that's in our life. Hallelujah. And so the Bible says that the yoke shall be destroyed. Say destroyed. Destroyed, not broken. Hallelujah. I've learned that there's nothing that happens in my life that hasn't first passed through the sovereign hands of God. Even when I've made dumb decisions and done some really stupid stuff. Thank you. At least he's honest. The rest of you are all lie in the church. What's wrong with church people that lie? Nothing has happened in my life that hasn't first passed through the hands of God. Even my stupid decisions. God saw me about to make that decision. He said, it's all right. Let it go. He's got to learn. Just like in Isaiah 10, he said, we're going to let the enemy get him a little. But when they turned to God and began to cry out, he said, my anointing will destroy the yoke. My anointing will release you from what's had you bound and constricted in your life. Hallelujah. You and I need to understand and stop putting blame. Whatever's happened in our life, we're just going to embrace it and realize, hey, it wasn't God, it wasn't me, but I'm just grateful and thankful that God loves me and sees me and accepts me despite all my stupid mistakes. Thank you, Lord. I've learned that everything that has happened in my life hasn't happened because God was out to get me, that God allowed things to happen in my life to develop the character of Christ in me and give me the opportunity to begin to look like God, act like God, walk like God, and talk like God. The reason that God allows bad things, people say, oh, why do bad things happen to good people? Right there, I just gave it to you. You don't ever have to ask that question again. The reason God allows bad things to happen to good people is to develop Christ's character in you. In other words, he wants you to begin to look like him, act like him, walk like him, and talk like him. And so, in other words, we stop acting like our foolish self and looking like a fool, and we start acting like, walking like, talking more and more like him. Doesn't mean it happens every day, but every day most days I look a little bit more like Jesus. Most days. I have bad days, Jamie. Glory to God. See, I'm not going to lie like the rest of y'all. Most days. And the goal is God will let things happen in life. Over the last few weeks, I mean, we have been hit one thing after the other, after the other, after the other, with devastation and turmoil and attacks and you name it, it's happened. And I'm not going to lose my cool over it, lose my temper, right? Any of those things, because I understand the goal of it is for me to be able to operate under pressure. And God to teach you and I, he wants you and I to look more like him, act more like him, talk more like him in every capacity of life. Doesn't mean we're not going to screw up. Sometimes I got to say to people that are near me, hey, I'm sorry, I lost it for a moment. I need you to forgive me. It was a momentary moment of insanity. I lost my mind. It got the best of me, but I'm back so that I can continue to develop the character of God in me. Hallelujah. Some of the people that you and I are around and we live with and that we have a relationship with, you need to give them the grace to sometimes just lose it. Stop holding the grudge. Stop bringing up what they did over and over. I don't know who this is for. This is for somebody in this place, as I heard the Lord just say it. Stop bringing up over and over and over and over again what they did. God already knows it. You already know it. And trust me when I tell you, they still remember too. I always do one thing, and I promise you, if you ever come to me and bring up who I used to be or something from my past, I'll call you a devil. To your face. I don't need to talk about you behind your back. I will tell you to your face, you are a devil, because only the devil brings up your past. If you have family that brings up your past, I don't look them right in the eye and say, you're a devil. And then adopt some new family. I'm telling you right now, that is over, it is past, and only the devil will bring up your past. Only the devil. That is not who you are. There may be remnants of that old man lurking around like my old temper. It'll sometimes raise up and get the best of me. So there's remnants of who I used to be, present. But that's why the Bible says I crucify my flesh daily, because I'm learning every day to look like, more like him, walk more like him, talk like more like him. Hallelujah. That was a word free for somebody today. You're gonna be leaving here calling everybody a devil. You might not have the boldness like I do to look at somebody and call them a devil. If so, just turn around and just say it under your breath. You're a devil. And the reason you need to do that, you can still love them from a distance. Please hear me. It's not meant for you to disrespect people and start a fight or anything like that. You can still love people, but I recognize people in my life that I do love, and I know they love me, but they're still a devil because they're the spirit that is driving them isn't the spirit of God. It is the enemy trying to hold me down and connect me and keep me connected to who I used to be. Hallelujah. So say it under your breath if you need to, but say it somehow. Identify them for who and what they are in your life. They're a devil, friend. Glory to God. Yeah, that's good. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jesus. That if you didn't get nothing else today, that was what was worth coming for right there, just to identify what is going on in your life. Hallelujah. Now, the next time, you know, those of you that are married or your sweet honey, and you start fighting and they remind you of something you did, be careful calling them a devil. Because I don't want you all to start laying hands on one another in a non-godly way, and me have to come bail you out. And then you tell the popo, the preacher told me to. I didn't tell you to hit him. I told you to call him a devil. What you choose to do after that, that's all on you. Are you hearing me? Oh, see, we can laugh in church. It's okay, really. The Bible says that God sits in the heavens and laughs. The Bible says that. What's he laughing at? You and I and our stupid mistakes. I really believe that. I've done some things, and I know. I'm screaming and yelling, and God's in heaven. Look at him. Look at him lose his mind. I think I'll mess with him a little bit more, you know. I was having a bad enough week here, Adam. This lady's going to rear-end you. I didn't hurt you in your car much, but here. To teach me to look more like him, act more like him, walk more like him, and talk more like him. But there would have been a time I'd have come up out of that car and every word, I'd create words that didn't belong. And I got out of the car angry, but I'll tell you, I looked more like God. I act more like God this time. I even talked more like God. All I said to her, what's wrong with you? Then she said, my feet go numb. I said, well, then you don't drive. See, that was something Jesus could get away with. I mean, Jesus called people dogs. I didn't call the woman a dog. I was better. That's progress. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I'm even making myself laugh. And the reason I can laugh about it is because I know the craziness I would have done. And so I can laugh because I look back and think, man, Adam, you were just messed up. Totally screwed up. And I can look back and it doesn't torment me who I was. I didn't even feel guilty. For shame, I'm free from that. And now I can laugh at it like, that's who I was. Yes, hallelujah. But it was Jesus that set me free. The yoke has been destroyed. Not broken, but destroyed. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for destroying the yoke. Good God, I'm running out. There's so much depth to what I'm trying to tell you, and I can't even get to it all. And so I'm trying to just say, Lord, what do you want me to do? How far do you want me to go? Watch this. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 6 through 8. If you don't have your Bibles up, I'll read it to you. Hebrews 12, 6 through 8. And I feel like it's important that I point this out to you so that you know that even when we do something wrong, we're loved. That even when we're corrected, all those things, we're still loved. And the Bible says right here in Hebrews 12, for whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every, watch this, son whom he receives. Son, now hold on to that word. If you're an underliner or something like that in your Bible, underline son. I'm about to drop a bomb on you. I'm telling you, it'll help you. It goes on in verse 7, if you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? In other words, what father is there whom he doesn't correct his son? You know what it is to grow up and say, I hate you, Dad. Because we don't like the correction. It says in verse 8, but if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. In other words, when God brings correction in our life, some of us are the result. Where we are right now is the result of God bringing correction in our life. Now, in Romans chapter 8, verse 14, you don't have to turn there, but write it down. I once did an 8-week series on what it is to be a son of God. And in Romans chapter 8, verse 14, the Bible says, as many are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. You know what that really means? If you and I aren't led by Him, we're not His son. If I'm not His son, the Bible says, then I'm not in line to be an inheritor. It comes back to right here in Hebrews, then I'm illegitimate. In other words, God says, if you're led by me, you're my son. You're my child. Right? You're my daughter. But God doesn't want us to be led. Sometimes He'll bring us to a place where there's correction in our life, where He removes some things, or He wakes you up in a message like this and says, that doesn't belong in your life. I want you to look more like me, walk more like me, talk more like me. Stop acting like that. So He'll do a little bit of course correction. The point is that whom He loves, He corrects. Oftentimes when God starts correcting things, we'll get an attitude and throw a tantrum. That's why I said earlier, God is not moved by your tantrums any more than you are when your kid throws them, right? God's not moved. But He is trying to get you and I to move. All right. The very fact that God will deal with you and I, whether it's in correction or whether it's in any form or matter, it's a sign that you're a son. The only reason that things like that happen in life is it's validation that you're a son when God's trying to bring correction in your life. It just like you would your own child. Hey, I don't want you to do that. I don't want you to get hurt. Right? Don't walk that close to the pool. Get back here, right? Don't walk out into the oncoming street of traffic. Get back here, right? Because you don't want them to get hurt. God's constantly trying to give you and I course correction in our life because He sees you and I, and because you and I are sons. Because He's trying to give you more of what He has. In other words, the life you've been living is far below the quality that God has in store for you. If you and I will receive His correction, if we will receive where He's trying to take us, are you still with me? There's more there I want to give you, but I don't have time. Hallelujah. So I want to move on. Remember when we began this morning, we started talking about praise. I took you on this little detour, told you a little bit about yokes. Hallelujah. Amen. You forgot already. You dozed off, took a nap. God allows all kinds of the things that are happening in our life to often get our attention, to help to keep you and I in the right direction and on purpose and have intention in our lives and all of those things. And yet we said earlier that it is the anointing that destroys the yoke, and yet one of the very things that out of praise comes, we learned it's breakthrough, weapons, and then the anointing is the third one. So how does praise and the anointing and all of that come together for my life? How does it change us? How does it help us? I said earlier that as long as the yoke is on, who's ever behind the yoke and carrying the reins has control. Because that yoke maintains and it controls and it imprisons and it holds back whatever the yoke is on. Meaning, if you've got a yoke on you, you can only get as far as whomever is controlling the yoke allows you to go. Ever felt like you were just spinning your wheels in life? You weren't making any progress, but you weren't going backwards. You were just spinning. It's a yoke. It makes you think you're getting somewhere. Always busy, but never any progress. Oh, my. Always busy, but never any progress. It's a yoke. We'll get ready to move and do something great, but we can't because there's a yoke. It holds us back. It hinders us. And so here's the problem. Here's the real problem. I'm going to have to stop with it. Good Lord. Here's the real problem. You and I are here in this moment, this God-given divine moment, and we're in line with God. We're a people that, and you're here because you're trying to move into your destiny. You're trying to find your place in this life and trying to explore and understand a whole new way of living and just seeing what it is that God has for you, right? But yet, even no matter where you are in life and what's going on in your life, and even though we're sitting in the house of God right now, or you're sitting on your couch at home, or on your chair outside watching online, or watching us on TV, doesn't matter where you are or what you're doing right now, you know what it is to be in the presence of God. You're sitting in the house of God right now. But there's a lot of people who have a yoke on their neck, and it's strapping them down. And we've adapted our life to just living with yokes, never really getting the results that we want, but instead of just changing and accommodating the yoke, accommodating its place in our life, right? Have you ever had to put a cast on your foot or on your arm or anything, and how you have to get creative, how you're going to shower and all of those things? For those weeks that I had that brace on my ankle, everything had to be different. You had to get creative. It was interesting not being able to stand on a foot and yet having to shower. And how you do what you got to do, right? All of those things. And so we'll make accommodations for it. And those, and so we make accommodations the same way we do when there's a yoke in our life. Things that have been strangulating and controlling our life. Things that are a big part of who we are. Debt, all kinds of things can become a yoke in your life. Even debt can become a yoke. We get so used to being in debt that we don't know what it is to not have it, and so we just keep creating it. Oh, I'm sorry, you didn't like that. But that's true. It's a yoke. People are a yoke. They are. There are some people that just, they're no good for you. Sometimes people will tell lies on you, and it becomes a yoke. Even our marriages can become a yoke when they start falling apart. Addictions become yokes. All sorts of things in this life become yokes. Rejection becomes a yoke. Shame, guilt, grief, low self-esteem, all kinds of things become yokes in our life. And the best definition I can give what a yoke really is it's something that is severe bondage, affliction, to affect you thoroughly. A yoke is meant to affect you thoroughly, to maltreat you, to cause you pain, to abuse you. And yet we make accommodations for things like that in our life. Boy, it got quiet in here. Yokes. The oxen wearing that yoke becomes a beast of burden. Watch this. I mean, an oxen is strong and fierce, but it becomes a beast of burden because it is being controlled by the thing that would imprison it. You and I in the body of Christ are meant to have so much of a different life than often we're living. But we're imprisoned by things that we've made accommodations for. And we've just learned to live with them. Just like we learned to live with a cast on our foot. Or we learned to live with a miserable spouse. A complaining spouse. Or we learned to live and be connected to people and we're not happy. There's no joy anymore. We make accommodations for that. How? Because we get angry and bitter. I make accommodations for it. And so before you know it, it changes who I am. and you're not able to be who you really are and go and do what you need to do and be the person God's created you to be because you're not free. You're held by that thing. That yoke strangulates you, controls you, depletes you of your joy, doesn't enable you to be free and go about in your life. That third son of Judah, Carmi, means anointing. It is the praise that produces the anointing in your life. The anointing to do what? What we read in Isaiah. It is the anointing that destroys the yoke. That breaks you free. That sets you free. The reason it's important that you and I maintain an attitude of praise, it doesn't mean you need to leave here and Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday this week, you go around singing. No, it's about an attitude. You can sing if you want to, but it's about having an attitude of praise. It's saying Psalms 34 and having an attitude. I'm going to bless the Lord at all times. Praise will always be. I'm not going to cuss you out. I'm going to bless the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I might want to do that, but I'm going to bless the Lord. I might want to grab and shake you, but I will bless the Lord at all times. Praise will always be on my lips. Are you hearing me? That's what releases the anointing in your life that destroys the yoke. It means I'm not going to let the old me be a yoke, control what God has in store for me. The old me would have grabbed a hold of you and shaken you, cussed you out. But I'm going to bless the Lord. And it's releasing an anointing. That's destroying the yoke that's been over your life. It's destroying it. Not breaking it, but destroying it. Hallelujah. There's some stuff I really wanted to get to. Maybe I'll do a Facebook Live this weekend, fill in all the gaps that I had to miss. I want to make one point, and then we're going to get ready to close. Will you come push play on this thing, Mother? Glory to God. I don't know about all of you, but there have been times in my life where I've said, God, what's wrong with me? Or God, what's wrong with my life? When you have things in your life falling apart at like a record rate. I've gone through seasons of life where I've lost more than I could ever think of getting back. And I found myself saying, God, what is wrong with me? What's wrong with me? And the Lord showed me something through this text that I want to share with you. And that is, just like in Isaiah 10, when it says the anointing destroys the yoke. Just because the ox had a yoke on it, controlling it, there wasn't anything wrong with the ox. Of course, it's not going to work, is it? Yeah, I will bless the Lord at all times. Praise will continually be in our mouth. Hallelujah. You usually don't. I don't know what's going on with it. Well, you might have to just play. Come on. Come on, church, tell her to bless the Lord at all times. She can play. She just chooses not to. The Lord showed me something in the text. Then he said that it's the anointing that destroys the yoke. The anointing destroys the yoke. And just because the ox had a yoke on it, there was nothing wrong with the ox. I'm going to blow some of your minds. How many of you know that there are sometimes people, and sometimes we see ourselves, that it's something wrong with me? Just because the ox has a yoke on it doesn't mean that the ox is defective. Nothing wrong with the ox. In other words, God's saying to you and I, there's nothing wrong with you. It's the yoke. You need to be able to start seeing the people around you that have a yoke. And usually you can identify because you have one too. And realize it's not them. It's the yoke. The reason an oxen behaves the way it does when that yoke is on is because he knows he's under control. He knows he isn't free. Take the yoke off. Becomes a real beast that you don't want to mess with. But when you get that yoke back on it, he becomes a beast of burden. There's nothing wrong with the ox, and there's nothing wrong with you. The Lord wanted me to tell you that today. Nothing wrong with you. It's the yoke. And the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 10, the anointing destroys the yoke. The reason we worshiped him today was to create an atmosphere for his presence so that he could inhabit the praises of his people to bring you to a moment like this, that whatever yoke is on you that's been strangulating you, hindering you, messing with your mind, causing you to think ways you know you shouldn't be, and you cannot get free from it, it's a yoke. And the Bible says that it's the anointing that destroys it. And there are God moments like these where God will just show up and do something like that in your life. Like a snap of a finger. There are some things that take time. But I've experienced God also many times where he just shows up and boom, does the miraculous. And some of you need a word like this today to realize there's nothing wrong with you. It's just the yoke. And when that yoke is removed, you're going to become exactly who God created you to be and walk in that destiny that he has for you. Will you stand to your feet? Hallelujah. Let's stand to your feet and we're going to pray. Hallelujah. I don't know. Thank you, Jesus. What do you know? Nothing wrong with the ox, nothing wrong with you. It's just a yoke. So I want to take a moment this morning as we get ready to close. We're going to take up our offering and tithes on the way out this morning, and we're going to do that in a moment. But those of you in this place that you need prayer for any reason, or you can identify there are yokes in our life, and you're one of those, and you can identify with some of the things that I've shared transparently today. There are things that are like strangulating you in any capacity, things that you need to be free from. We're going to pray together today in these final moments and believe God, according to his word, that Isaiah 10:27 is your word, that it is the anointing that destroys the yoke. The anointing that destroys it. And this can be a day where you and I can walk out of here and be different and not have to live how we've had to live and with the haunted memories and all those things, believing it's just a part of who we are. No, it's been a yoke and you've been lied to, but it is God's anointing that destroys every yoke and then enables us to be different. So if that's you and you want to pray with me today, we're going to pray together. You can come forward real quick, stand with me. We're going to pray, believe God, and pray over the people that are online that might need prayer. And I know we got emails this morning of people that need prayer, and we're going to believe God for them. Our sister asked for prayer for herself and her husband, and we're going to believe God for all of those, all of the names on the wall. And so come quickly. We're going to pray and believe God that it is the anointing that destroys every yoke. And I want you to believe that today. I don't care who you are, if it's your first time or you've been here many times. We're going to pray and believe God with you. It is his anointing. It is only him. It's not us. It's not me. It's our willingness to listen to him and say, God, I've been dealing with a yoke in my life. I've been just accepting this as life as normal, but it's not who I am. It's only been the yoke, and it's been lying to you and I. And so I'm thanking God that we're about to be changed forevermore, that we're about to be set free. And so everybody else who's back in your chairs or online, would you pray, begin to pray for the people that are in the front this morning as we begin to pray and believe that this will be a godly moment for them, an encounter with the Holy Ghost, that we will have an experience with him and be changed in this moment. Let's pray together today. Father, I bless you. Lord, I thank you for these people that have come, that are standing in the front of your presence. And God, we're praying right now that, God, I'm going to come by. And Lord, as I lay my hand on each of them, God, quickly, I thank you that, Lord, it'll be a divine appointment from heaven, that, God, that you will loose them, God, of everything that strangulated them, suffocated them, hindered them, God, whether it's mindsets that they've been in the midst of, God, or a way of living or a belief or a lie about themselves or a health issue, God, or any other problem. God, I thank you that your word is your word, and God, it's true and it's just for every one of us. And so, Father, I pray now in the name of Jesus that, Father, that it will be your anointing that destroys every yoke, that, Lord, let our eyes be open, let our ears be able to hear today and believe and receive from heaven, God, what you're about to do, and believe that, God, today is the beginning of a brand new day in our lives. I thank you, Lord, that it is your anointing that destroys the yoke. Lord, destroy every yoke in our lives in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you. Destroy every yoke. It is your anointing. God, don't break it, but Lord, destroy it. God, set us free from everything that has entangled us, suffocated us, hindered us, been in opposition in our life, God, in any capacity. Father, I thank you and I praise you, oh God, today. Mighty God that you are, we bless you and we thank you. It is your anointing that destroys the yoke. God, we're going to find out what it is to be free. God, we're going to find out what it is to live without something hindering and handicapping us and causing us to make accommodations. But God, the day of accommodation in our life is over for these things that have done nothing but taken away from us. So Father, I thank you right now in the name of Jesus. I'm praying that, God, that you would do the miraculous things, that, God, you would do marvelous things in the name of Jesus. Let your anointing destroy every yoke in the name of Jesus. And God, let it be done in this moment. Let it be done right now. God, we're going to believe and we're going to stand on your word. Father, I pray that you would go before them right now in the days and the hours and even before this week. Go before them. And Father, I thank you that your anointing is just released over them. There it is. Released over them, God. Released over the hours and the days ahead. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. He's moving on you. You may not feel it. You may not know it, but you're going to see it in the results of what's coming this week. The yokes are gone. Ways in which you were handling things and how you may have reacted and the boldness that's going to swell up in you. You're just going to probably chuckle to yourself and say, "Daggone, that yoke is gone. It's gone." So, Father, do miraculous things. Thank you that they're brand new people in you. God, you're going to show up in marvelous ways, do extraordinary things through them. And now, God, the journey can begin for them to understand and truly walk in their God-given purpose. They've been spinning their wheels. But now, God, the real journey begins. And I bless you for it. Now, Father, I pray as we leave this place, I take you and your presence goes with us, that, Father, you will bless every tithe, every offering that's given in this place and given on the website. And that, God, that you will bless it and multiply it. Continue to allow this ministry, God, to do extraordinary things. Use the people that yokes have just been destroyed. Use them. Use them, God, in marvelous ways. And I bless you and I thank you. God, go before us this week. I thank you that, God, you'll give this church favor as we do our press conference. Every capacity, network us with the right people from all over the place. God, I thank you that every financial need that we have for the Dream Center will be taken care of and accomplished in the name of Jesus. It shall be done because we believe and we stand upon your word. God, we bless you and we thank you. And Lord, once again, I thank you that your anointing destroys every yoke, and that today, God, we are different. We are free in the name of Jesus. We love you. We praise you. We bless you. In Jesus Christ, your mighty name, we love you. And we say amen and amen. Have a beautiful week, everybody. Hallelujah.